Because I believe a man is supposed to take care of his woman. I don't care how much money your woman make. A man is supposed to have his mind set on taking care of his woman.
I want to talk. I mean, this, you know, this may be a bit crude, but I mean, I don't know no other way to say it. I want to talk about booty calls. Good evening, good evening, good evening, good evening. I'm R.C. Blakes, and I hope that everybody is doing well. I hope that this is a good time. I have this particular subject matter that I want to deal with this evening, and I just decided to pop in and do it. If this is your first time, hello. If this is your first time, I'm R.C. Blakes. I am a pastor, and I'm a husband, and I'm a father, and I'm a man, and I'm a student of life. Hello, everybody. Thank you for coming in. Thank you so much for coming in. Those of you that get distracted by me speaking to people, well, this is a social platform, and I consider this my community. So when people come in, I like to at least acknowledge them before I get started. I'll try to stick to the subject matter at hand. As I go forth, I'd appreciate it if you would give me some thumbs up. Yes, of course, it helps to build the platform. You know, somebody was challenging me on my asking you to give me. Everything in life is about growth and progress. And if something as small as pressing a button increases our reach, I'm not ashamed to ask you to do that. But tonight, I want to look at something. I want to ask you a question. And this is just something that it's really not. I can't honestly say that it's fully developed. Thank you, Ms. D. I can't say it's not fully developed because I actually wrote this while sitting in the movie with my wife. This evening we went to see the movie, The Photograph, I think it's called. And it's a beautiful love story. And we went to the movies after we had done some premarital counseling. And I had done some pre-premarital counseling earlier last week. Sometimes I get a chance to do that as a pastor. I don't offer counseling at large because I don't have the time to do it. But this week I seem to have had two occasions to be able to do so. And so the thought had been on my mind all week long to kind of deal with this relative to you, my audience. I call you my family. Are you ready for love? Everybody wants it. You know, everybody wants it. But I think statistics prove that most of us are not ready for it. And of course, we know all of the bad things that happen and all of the toxic relationships and the toxic people that we might encounter. But the reality is that there are some of us who are encountering great people and we are making a wreck of those relationships. And I think it goes back to, in fact, I'm certain that it goes back to the fact that quite often, thank you, I can't pronounce the first name, Reed, thank you. It goes back to the fact that most of the time we are not ready for love. We want it, we desire it. Society and Hollywood makes it glamorous. Even in terms of our ministry, in terms of preaching about it or teaching about it, it's glamorous, but very seldom are we faced with the realities of the work that it requires, and not only the work that the relationship requires, but we are seldom, if ever, challenged with the self-work it requires before you get into the us work. The me work has to come before the us work. And ideally, the me work should take place, the you work should take place before we create the context of the us work. And the reason the us work does not work many times, even if, you know, nobody's cheating, nobody's abusive, nobody's a narcissist or whatever, nobody's, you know, whatever, we can't seem to make it work. And it's due to the fact, my experience in my years have taught me that it's due to the fact that many of us are jumping in before we're actually ready. And I thought about it, and I have five things I want to share with you tonight relative to self-examination. But I thought about, you know, Adam and Eve and how God created them individually. I've talked about this extensively. God created them individually, created Adam at a certain point, created Eve at another point. And then there was a certain time that God said it's not good that man should be alone. But we see clearly that Adam was well along, two-box evolution, thank you. Adam was well along in his personal development. He had a relationship with God. He had a self-awareness. He had a place to live. He had resources and means to support a woman, and he was so personally whole that the Genesis account has it that God reached into his side and pulled out a rib and made a woman. Adam was so personally whole that he was enough to provide the resources or the necessary material for the creation of his own woman. But we do see where there was a certain point that God said it's not good that man should be alone. So Adam clearly was ready in the eyes of God. Could it be that you've jumped in and out of relationships and they've all failed because you just weren't ready? Well, let me jump in. Number one, here's a question I have for you. Okay, this is self-examination. Thank you, Jennifer. This is self, I'm certain that I can add to this because I just kind of jotted this down while I was sitting in the movie and thoughts were coming to me. And number one, have you processed the example, be it poor or good, of your parents? You know, you want a relationship, but my question is, have you processed the example of your parents, be it good or poor? Sad to say, in most cases, it was a poor example. So if your parents had a good marriage or a great marriage, have you taken the time to step outside and to look back objectively at what worked for your parents, why it worked? Have you asked the questions? Have you taken the time to ask your mother why was she happy with your father? Or have you taken the time to ask your father what made him happy with your mother? And have you asked them what are the foundational principles that they've built their successful relationship on? Or, you know, if you have poor, you have parents that have a poor example. Thank you, Jacqueline. Have you processed that poor example? I call this generational evolution. It's when you can look at your parents' example, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and all of that is in all of us. No set of parents are perfect. No marriage is perfect, but there are people that are perfect for one another. Thank you, Jessica. I call it generational evolution. It's when you look at your parents' example and you're wise enough to pull from it, you know, it's like eating fish with bones in it. You know, it's like you separate the meat from the bones. You can't swallow the bones, could kill you. So you separate the meat from the bones. When you look at your parents' example, you separate the good from the bad. And you take the good into the next generation, and then you build, you evolve. You build on top of what has worked in the previous generation. But there are too many of us that get to a point where, especially when you get into young adult years, you know, you You're 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. You want to prove you're grown. So the last advice you want is from your parents, even though they may have had a great marriage or may have built a great life, or you've not taken the time to really analyze where your parents failed. And so in your generation, you're failing to what? Evolve. In fact, you can fact about it, you can find yourself going backwards. Because, thank you, Valencia, because whatever's in our parents shows up in our lives, right? And especially the bad parts. If you don't take the time to recognize and identify the negativity that your parents may have deposited into you knowingly or unknowingly, you'll find yourself becoming the next level version of what you hated most about your parents. The Bible says in Genesis 5 and 3, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness and in his image and called his name Seth. We all have the potential of being in the positive or the negative image of our parents. And when it comes down to relationships, some of the self-work you have to do, some of the me work that has to be done, is you need to really stop and analyze what has been programmed into you by the example of your parents. Because if you do not, and you rush into a relationship, you'll find yourself repeating the same cycle. So if your dad was a cheater, as a man, you'll find yourself, you know, sincerely wanting a healthy and loving relationship. But because you've not dealt with that generational curse, which I believe many times is just generational conditioning, Manthes, I think it is. Thank you so much. Generational conditioning, you find yourself subconsciously reproducing that. You know what I mean? You find yourself subconsciously reproducing that. So that's some of the what? Me work that has to be done before I even try to engage another person. Because it's not fair for me to bring another person into that process. That's some stuff I should have worked out before I engaged another person. You know what I mean? I should have done some self-analysis, and I should have possibly gone to some kind of counseling, some kind of therapy, and gotten somebody to get into my head to help me realize that I've been programmed by a toxic father or a toxic mother or a toxic set of parents. And I have some subconscious thoughts that would raise their heads and wreck any potentially, I can't believe I can't say that word, potentially good relationship. So have you processed the example of your parents? Have you taken the good from it? Have you learned from the bad? Have you done some self-observation to see what your parents have deposited into you? There's no way you can tell me that you have been under a person for 20 years. Bernadette, thank you. There's no way you can tell me you've been under a person for 20 years and not have some of that person in you. In fact, about it, you have a lot of them in you. You know? That's why I always knew that I was better than I was behaving, because I had such a great example for a father who was a great husband and was a great father and, you know, was a faithful man to my mother most of their marriage. He had his issues too when he was younger, but he grew out of that as I did. And by the time I was able to pay attention, he was a great husband. And so when I carried on with all of that stuff, I was like, something not right, because this is not what I'm looking at every day, you know? And so there was a point where I paused. I had wrecked enough people. I had created enough bogus toxic relationships. And then there was a point where I paused and I realized I didn't need to bring anybody else into my mess. And I realized I needed to get closer to God and I needed to really pay attention to what, there's my daughter Marcy, I love you, to what was modeled before me. And when I started pulling that apart, thank you, Bunny, and I started analyzing, I was then able to begin to pick up on, then my conversations, watch this, with my father changed. You know, I started asking him questions about how to possibly be a faithful man. You know, I was able to be honest with my dad. And he was able to pour into me, and I was able to hear and receive things he had always been saying, but my heart was never prepared to receive. So, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. The reality is that the teacher's probably always been there. The student's heart has just not been prepared to hear or receive. Number two, have you grown past the pain of your previous situation? These are questions you need to ask yourself when you're contemplating love. Have you processed, number one, have you processed the poor or even good example of your parents? Have you grown, number two, past the pain of your previous situation? And I call this reflection. Have you truly reflected? Have you looked in the mirror of honesty and transparency? And have you grown beyond the pain of your previous situation or your previous relationship, your previous toxic relationship, whatever you want to call it? Because when you've not grown, when you have not evolved or you've not grown beyond the pain of the past situation, and then you're trying to jump into a new situation, some of the baggage that you bring into the new situation that's unfair to the new person is you bring trust issues and you bring a lot of unwarranted suspicions. So, you know, on the surface, you caught up in this whirlwind love affair and you're feeling this person and you want this to work. But the moment it really gets serious and you really put your heart on the line, that person is going to realize that you have a real problem trusting, or you have a real problem with being suspicious about everything, or you have a real issue with fear of abandonment. And if the person doesn't call at a certain time, you're flying off the handle because you're still dealing with some trauma from your past situation that you've not healed beyond. And look what the Bible says in Hebrews 12 and 15, and this is the Amplified Version. It says, see to it that no one falls short of God's grace, that no root of resentment, King James says bitterness, springs up and causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. When you have anger and unresolved pain, you know, living in your soul, this stuff springs up in your life at the most inopportune times to dismantle anything that could be good. And so you have to ask yourself, have I truly grown past the pain of my previous situation? Now, let's say you encounter someone that is of interest to you and you're interested in them and they're interested in you. And you're still in that process where you're trying to move beyond that pain. Or let's say you're still at point one where you're still trying to process the poor example of your parents. And you realize that there was some stuff that you observed that you've probably intaken that's not healthy. Well, how do you handle that? Do you dismiss the person? Do you avoid the person? Do you just sabotage the relationship? No, I don't think you do that. But I think you have to be what? Honest. You have to be honest. You have to be honest and you have to say, well, you know, I'm still getting over such. I'm still dealing with this. I'm still hurt behind this. I'm still hurt behind that. And then if the person is man enough or woman enough, they're able to what? Walk you through it. They're able to, you know, stick close and to what? Help you through the process. But don't engage somebody as though you're whole and healthy. And then they get, you know, they make all of the emotional investment. And then they get out there in the middle of the water with you and realize that you have a whole lot of brokenness that you didn't disclose. My wife shared her story with me before we got married. So when we got married, I knew exactly what I was dealing with. I didn't know how to deal with it, but I knew I loved her enough to figure it out. So it wasn't like, you know, she painted this picture of health for me, and then we got married, and then I discover this is a broken woman that's over trying to overcome a whole lot of trauma and has now brought all of this trauma into my life and created this drama. I knew what I was getting into. I knew what I was getting into because she knew what she was dealing with. Number three, which kind of leads out of point two. Number three, only have five. Are you whole enough to be honest about your insecurities? In other words, are you a whole enough woman? Are you a whole enough man to be able to say, this is my truth? I call this self-acceptance. This is my truth. I'm not perfect. I've not had the perfect life. These are some of the mistakes I've made. I've accepted myself. And because I've accepted myself, because I'm whole within myself, I'm able to be completely honest with you about my own personal insecurities because my insecurities have absolutely nothing to do with my value or my worth. It just happens to be what I've gone through in life, and it happens to be what I'm working my way through. All of the mistakes I've made don't define me. You're not defined by how many people you slept with before you realized it was wrong. You're not defined by that. And anybody that can't accept your truth is not man enough or woman enough to be a major part of your future. I've been able to be completely honest with my wife. My wife knew who I was. She knew who I was. You know, she was able to be completely honest with me. I knew what I was dealing with. I knew the pain that she had gone through. But you have to be whole within yourself to be able to be honest about your own personal insecurities. If you don't accept yourself, let me just read this like I wrote it. If you don't accept yourself, you will always hide yourself from others. This makes you if you don't accept yourself, you will always find yourself hiding yourself from others. You'll always hide behind a facade, and you'll create what's supposed to be a lifelong committed relationship with someone, but you'll be hiding behind some false facade. And this makes you incapable, as long as you're hiding your true self, this makes you incapable of a real healthy relationship. Because people cannot fully love you when you hide. See, I don't know how much you love me until I can see you accept me and accept the worst parts of me. Not the fictitious parts that I've fabricated or embellished, but the raw nitty-gritty truth about me, who I am, what I've gone through, and what I'm dealing with, and my flaws that yet exist. I don't know how much you love me until I can see you unconditionally accept me. And I have to first of all give you the opportunity to be that person to me. As long as I'm hiding and as long as I'm incapable of being honest about my own personal insecurities, maybe that's not a good word actually, but my own personal flaws or failures, I'll never give you the opportunity to prove to me that you will be there and can be there no matter what. And some of you are in, you know, full-blown relationships right now. You have engagement rings, you've planned the wedding, and you're still hiding. There are a lot of things about you that this man or this woman does not know. There are a lot of things about you that this man or this woman does not know. Anybody that cannot, and I cannot read all of the things, but I'm imagining some of the questions that are probably coming out, I'll say this: anybody that cannot accept your truth is not designed to go into your future, not on that level. So if I sit down and I bare my soul, which is what? Healthy for me, necessary for you, and you can't handle that, well, it doesn't matter about, you know, what I'm feeling. You have demonstrated that you are not equipped to go into my future. Look what the Bible says in James 5 and 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. There is no healing without confession. If I'm incapable of confessing my faults, the worst parts of me, there can never be healing. And the only people that can aid or assist me in that healing or that evolution or that development or that growth is the person that I can confess that to. They'll hold my confidence, and their perception of my value will never shift. Right? So number one, we said, have you processed the example of your parents? In most cases, the poor example of your parents. Have you processed that? Really thought that through and really analyzed your life alongside it? Number two, have you grown past the pain of your previous situation? And then number three, are you whole enough to be honest about, let's say, I put insecurities, but let's say, are you whole enough to be honest about failures, flaws, however you want to put it? Because the mere fact that you're whole and you're able to be honest means you're no longer insecure about it. You've accepted your truth, and now you're trying to see if this person is of enough stature to be able to deal with your truth. And let me say this. Somebody said, I think it was a lady that said just now, this was a problem in my marriage. I think men have this problem more so than women, because the world has conditioned us to believe that it's less than masculine to communicate. So we are, number one, we're guarded in terms of communicating. Number two, the world makes us believe that we have to paint this false picture of, consistent strength, that we can never show weakness, you know, like we're living in a jailhouse or something, you know. It's like even Superman went into the booth when he needed to be Superman, and when he was done being Superman, he went back to the booth and put on his Clark Kent suit. Because, you know, all of us have a real side, and we have that stuff we try to project, and we fail to be honest with our women. In fact, about it, I think for us as men, many times it remains as an insecurity because we fail to accept ourselves. We don't want to accept the parts of us that are less than I'm in control, or less than, you know, I'm the man. And the reality is, I say it all the time. Some people disagree with me, but I believe it. Men are as emotional as women. We just do it on the inside. Whereas a woman will fall out on the floor, a man will just keep all of that pressure on the inside, and he turns it into a heart attack. A woman gonna create a ruckus in the room, but a man gonna create a ruckus in his own soul, because society has built us to believe that we should never be honest about anything that is less than stellar. And we got to teach our sons better than that. You know, we have to teach our sons better than that. Okay, number four, I only have five. Are you mature enough? These kind of lead one into the other, actually. Are you mature enough to handle another person's truth. When you get through asking yourself, now, can they handle my truth? You have to ask yourself, am I mature enough to handle their truth? You know, if a person really gets down to the nitty gritty, you know, can I still feel the same about them? Let me give you an example of what I mean by that. It's like a man that meets a brilliant woman that knocks him off of his feet. And it's like, I've never met a woman like this. You know, this woman does something to me that nobody else does. And it's not sexual. And you know, I feel like she has everything I need to go to the next level. And then you get into the relationship grows, and then you get into this place of honesty and transparency. And then, you know, the question that we as brothers typically like to ask when we really think it's getting serious. How many men have you slept with? Every man at some point going to try to get around to that question. How many men have you slept with? And then you start going through, was it one? Was it two? Was it three? Was it four? Now, brother getting a little nervous now because he's struggling with handling her truth. Now, what's going on is he's getting ready to judge her based on her past. And it's her past experiences that have come together to make her the woman she is now. And so now his maturity level is challenged. When she gets past five or she gets past 10, oh, my God. And she's being honest. She's being honest. She's telling him the truth. But now he's discovering that I'm really not as mature as I thought I was. And watch this. Most of the time, her number doesn't even compare to his number. But when he's immature, he'll judge her because he's not. Okay, let me read this for you. If you can't support a person emotionally, you're not ready. This speaks of what? Empathy. Empathy. I used to always make the statement, you know, I wouldn't deal with a woman cheating on me and all of that kind of stuff. And then, you know, one day I grew up and I realized how many women have dealt with me cheating on them. And then, you know, I grew up and I said, you know, God forbid, but if my wife were to ever cheat on me, we've been married now 25 years, been together over 30 some years. I said, my wife was ever cheat on me, I can't honestly tell y'all it's over. I can't honestly tell you it's over because the empathy, the ability to connect with another person is so great in me now because of what? The maturity. Now I'm mature enough to handle another person's truth. And sometimes people, and this may help somebody, sometimes people cheat. This may help a man who's struggling with maybe your wife. Sometimes people cheat and it really has nothing to do. It has absolutely nothing to do with you. Sometimes there's some stuff they're working through. And sometimes it's not necessarily abandonment that they need. Sometimes they need you to draw in closer. I'm a pastor. I've done a lot of marital counseling and I've seen a whole lot of marriages where somebody cheated and they weren't a cheater. It's not like they were, you know, just a chronic cheater like I was, or like a whole lot of these other people. It's a whole different ball game. Now you got a chronic cheater, just a professional cheater. I ain't talking about that. But sometimes people make mistakes. And if they're big enough to be honest with you, you need to be big enough to be able to handle that truth. Even if you have to say, let me step away from it for a minute and think and pray about this. But don't get emotional and cop out on an otherwise great relationship. I don't know how I got off on all of that. Watch this here. 1 Corinthians 13:7 says that love, and you read the context of this verse, 1 Corinthians 13, in verse 7, it's talking about love, and it says of love, love beareth all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. When you are truly equipped and you're mature enough to handle another person's truth and to love them properly, you're able to bear it. You're able to believe. You're able to have hope. You're able to endure certain things. If I'm not equipped to handle your truth, I'm not man enough to go into your future. And watch this. There's a beautiful illustration in Genesis between Adam and Eve, and the Bible says they were both naked and not ashamed. I love that. Meaning what? They were able to bear it all. And because of the love factor, they were not ashamed. Now, let me see. Number five, here's the fifth one, and then I'm out of here. I've been on here too long. Are you established in who you are to the point you know who fits? I call this self-awareness. And what are we answering? Are you ready? Are you really ready for love? Have you processed the example of your parents? Have you grown past the pain of your previous situation? Are you whole enough to be honest about your personal shortcomings? Are you mature enough to handle another person's truth? And number five, are you established in who you are to the point you know who fits? Self-awareness. Are you so self-aware that you can you almost can immediately detect if a person fits or nay? This is why I say, this is just me, this is not for everyone. If, God forbid, something were to happen to my wife and I were in a situation where I was, you know, maybe considering another wife, which I don't know if I would, because I don't know if I would even have the time, but if I were, I don't think it would take me, you know, I don't think it would take me a whole 100 years to figure out if, you know, this works or not. I think once I get through discerning and analyzing and doing the background check that I'm going to do, praise the Lord, I know who I am. I'm so self-aware. I'm so in tune to my purpose and who I am, I can almost automatically tell you who fits into my life or not. But you cannot get there until you are established in who you are. And the mistake that most people make is that you pursue relationships before you have completely discovered yourself. And when you pursue relationships before you have had self-discovery, what happens is you become an actor. You begin to act the way the person or the persons desired you to behave so that you could win their approval. This is why it's never a great idea to run off too early in life. Sometimes it works, most times it doesn't. Talking about you head over heels in love with somebody and you just got out of high school. You don't even know who you are. That's part of your brain that's not even formed yet. You don't even know who you are. How do you know who fits into your life when you don't know who you are yet? And oh yeah, that's an old dude talking. That's an old dude that's been young, been exactly where you are and made these very same mistakes. Not knowing who I was and trying to pull somebody else into that. Are you established in who you are to the point you know who fits? You got to know who you are. And see, a lot of times sisters think that it's just you, you know, brokenhearted and all of that. But there's a lot of dudes that are brokenhearted. There are a lot of guys that really meant well, mean well, not cheaters. Every man is not a cheater. Every man not a dog. Some of y'all had this opinion of men that all men are dogs. That's because that's all you've dealt with. Because you keep on going back, keep fishing in the same pond, wondering why you keep coming out with catfish. Maybe you need to try some different kind. Okay, let me leave that alone. But back to my point. There are a whole lot of men who are not established in their own identity and try to create relationships with women and end up brokenhearted. Because, and it doesn't necessarily mean that the woman is a bad person. Doesn't necessarily mean that the man is a bad guy. Just not the right fit for you. And you keep making that choice. You keep choosing the wrong person because you don't really have any self-perspective yet. You don't have any self-definition. And so you keep trying to fit a round peg in a square peg in a round hole. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship, what communion, what do you have in common? What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Don't be unequally yoked together. Don't tie your life down. Now the point of 2 Corinthians 6:14, I'll say this and then I'll be out. The point of 2 Corinthians 6:14 is that when he says, be not unequally yoked together, the point of the text is that is not to get yoked and then discover that we're not equal. That's not the point. That's chaos. The point is to know that this person doesn't fit into my life before you yoke up with them. But you don't know if the person fits into your life or not unless you know exactly who you are. You can't tell me who fits until you know who you are. And most folk have not done that work. You just followed those pubescent impulses of sexuality, and you started developing relationships from early on based on sexual attraction. Nobody ever taught you about emotional intelligence. You never learned anything about relationships. You don't even know anything about yourself, many times as a man or a woman. You have no clue. And you're out here trying to formulate relationships. Are you established in who you are to the point you know who fits? So those are my five for right now. And I think I'll be adding to this discussion, actually. I'm certain that you guys have put a lot of stuff in the comments that is probably a good resource as well. But I want you to ponder this, man. Are you ready for love? Everybody wants it, but everybody's not ready for it. You know what I mean? Everybody wants it, but everybody's not ready for it. So I hope you got something out of this. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for this time. Thank you for this conversation, this truth. God, I pray that you will stir something in your people to begin to go deeper, to look deeper, to begin to see life through the lenses of wisdom as opposed to impulse. And God, I thank you for opening our paths and making our paths plain and giving us, dear God, the insight to make sound and wise decisions. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, hey, don't forget to go by and check out my books at Amazon. You know, I have a number of books on Amazon. Go and check them out. Also, those of you that are in Europe, in the UK in particularly, we, Lisa and I, will be there March 27th and 28th. That's a Friday night and a Saturday morning. We will be in London. And all you have to do is go to rcblakes.com and look under live events, and you'll get all of the information. If you have any other questions that you need to ask, you can reach out to us at pastorrcblakes@gmail.com. Those of you in Europe, please share this so that my brothers and sisters in Europe can know that I am coming. Also, those of you that may have need of counseling, I get a lot of emails, people needing professional counseling. Well, I'm not a counselor, and I always tell you all that. I'm not a counselor. But recently, I was able to create a partnership with a group called BetterHelp. And they provide, I think they're the largest online, a provider of online counseling. And I will put a link in the description for those of you that may be interested or may have need of that you can go and check it out and see if you think it's for you or not. I know that there's a secular aspect for those of you that are Christian and desire a Christian counselor, that's available as well. So I thought it was a wonderful fit for what I do because it answers a problem that I've had and that I've not been able to bring people to the next level. And so this will help us to get to the next level. I'll put the link in my description. I love you all. I thank God for you. I hope you got something out of this. Please share it on all of your platforms and give me some old thumbs before you leave me. I love you. Have a great night. And know that Lisa and I are praying for you. All right? Have a great one now. It's been a joy.
If you would like more information or for other resources, please visit us on the web at rcblakes.com.